From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The countdown is on. The state legislature has until June 15th, about a month, to pass a balanced budget. And the headline is finding a way to move forward with less. Budget projections since late last year pointed to a wide-ranging shortfall in the tens of billions of dollars. On Friday, Governor Gavin Newsom put forward his revised budget, commonly known as the May Revise, of course, and he isn't looking at this year alone, but he is laying out fiscal priorities and strategy to close an estimated $56 billion over the next two fiscal years. In a moment, we'll be joined by Wayne Weingarten, a senior fellow of Business and Economics at the Pacific Research Institute. But first, we welcome Scott Graves, the budget director at the California Budget and Policy Center. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So for those unaware, tell us about the California Budget and Policy Center, your nonprofit.
Yeah, we are a nonprofit research and analysis shop that advances public policies to improve the well-being of all Californians.
How does your nonprofit work with the governor and the state legislature?
We're largely in an education role, so we produce research and analysis to make sure that policymakers are aware of the kinds of solutions we need to move toward a more equitable state.
And I know for several months now, I mean, we've known since late last year that California would be facing a significant budget shortfall between $30 to $70 billion, depending on which financial analysis you're going off of. The governor's May revise on Friday. It follows his preliminary January proposed budget, followed by an early action plan in April, just last month, to shrink the shortfall by $17 billion. What is your big headline? What did you get from Friday's press conference from the governor and in the days since about what he's proposing?
Yeah, we think that overall, the governor has proposed an approach that goes a long way toward protecting core services. But we also think there are serious missed opportunities in terms of the governor's reluctance to consider revenue solutions as a way of helping to close the shortfall and also secure the investments we need for the long term.
Yeah, and I think it's important to also underscore that Friday's press conference, the announcement for the May revise, I mean, that's just one step in a long journey. There's even changes that are going to be taking place between now and June 15th.
That's right. So within the next 10 days, each house of the legislature will announce their own budget plans. And then in the last couple of years, they've been moving toward a unified approach to the state budget. They're typically not getting the governor's sign on at this point by early June. Their main goal is to pass the Budget Act by the June 15th constitutional deadline. And typically a three-party agreement with the governor will then follow in the second half of June.
Governor Newsom also said that he's taking a different approach than in the past. I mean, he's not only looking at this budget year alone, but this year and the following fiscal year. What stands out to you about this strategy?
Yeah, that's right. He did make the point that we need to look a couple of years ahead. And I mean, the reality is state lawmakers have been looking a ways ahead in recent state budgets. It's not that unusual. They do a multi-year fiscal forecast, and they're always trying to take into account how are the solutions, as they're called in Sacramento, how are the solutions that we're going to enact this year not just affect the next budget, but the two or three budgets after that.
Given that you have a good amount of budgets under your belt with the Budget and Policy Center here in California, what stands out to you about this budget fiscal year, the upcoming one? Is it unusual? Does it remind you of any years in the past?
Well, it's definitely not like the Great Recession, where we were seeing slash and burn budgets proposed by Governor Schwarzenegger at that time. I think that what is different this year compared to prior budget crises is that we have a governor who is very resistant to the idea of revenue solutions as part of solving the shortfall. And in prior budget crises, state leaders have come together and recognized that you need to consider revenues, put them on the table in order to close a shortfall in a way that doesn't do tremendous harm to Californians.
What does a revenue solution look like? Like taxes?
Yes. For example, We have some very profitable corporations doing business in California who are benefiting from very large tax breaks. These are called tax expenditures because it's spending through the tax code. And whereas all the programs and services the state provides every year go under the microscope and get a lot of scrutiny, these tax expenditures are not looked at. They just slide by year to year. And we think that there is a great opportunity there to create a more fair tax system, help solve the shortfall, and raise the revenues we need to invest for the long term.
Why do you think the governor might be hesitant to take on those revenue solutions?
I can't answer why the governor is taking this approach, but I do think we need to remember that any budget is balanced with multiple solutions, right? There is not a single tool in the toolbox. So every tool needs to be used. If you leave the revenue tool in the toolbox, that means that you're putting that much pressure on every other tool. For every dollar we're not raising in additional revenue from corporations, that's a dollar in cuts to vital services for Californians.
So the governor's revised budget that he announced on Friday is to close an estimated $56 billion over the next two fiscal years. What will be the biggest impacts to Californians?
I think we're going to see impacts affecting Californians of color, low-income Californians, folks who are trying to pay for college, people who are facing housing instability. There are cuts across a broad range of safety net programs, housing programs. Some of these are one-time in nature. Others are ongoing. I do want to point out, though, that the governor does make efforts to preserve some very critical services. Childcare slots, for example. We're not going to see the expansion we thought we would, but he's not proposing a deep reduction there. We're also seeing him preserve tax credits for low-income families that help families make ends meet. So there are some positive things that the governor has done here. I want to emphasize that. But we also think that it makes a bad situation worse by not relying to a certain degree on revenue solutions to help close the shortfall.
But cuts have to be made. If it was within your control, where would you like to see some cuts made? Or would you just want those revenue solutions to increase revenues for the state?
Well, revenue solutions, of course, as I've been pointing out, should be on the table. If we want to look for a place to reduce state spending, I think there's no better place to look than the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation's budget. They run our state prison system. They've been operating in recent years with 15,000 empty beds, costing the state $1 billion per year. Essentially, consider those wasted resources. The state legislative analyst has pointed out that those beds can be safely reduced by closing five prisons and freeing up $1 billion per year over the long term to make critical investments. So we would point to the state's prison budget as an area that's very ripe for reductions and should be considered as part of this budget package. The governor, though, has proposed only modest reductions to CDCR's budget.
So you would want it to be done more?
Yes, that is a great place to look for cuts. If you want to make cuts in the California state budget, look no further than the CDCR's budget.
The governor also proposed pulling from reserves. Does that give you pause or any concern, given that we do have a dim financial outlook? It's not just reserved to this fiscal year?
Right. This is the exact time we should be using our reserves. We've been very prudent in California over the last 10 years. We've built up reserves to over $30 billion. They're called rainy day funds for a reason. When it's raining, we should pull dollars out to help close a shortfall in a way that offsets the needs for cuts. So we agree that this is the year to be considering rainy day funds. The question is how much to pull out. There's an argument to be made that perhaps the governor's plan should have used a bit more from rainy day funds in order to offset the need for cuts, particularly given his reluctance to raise revenues. So I think that's a debate that he'll end up having with the legislature in the coming weeks.
It can be hard to visualize $56 billion over the span of 2 years. So let's just cut it in half, about $27 billion for the upcoming fiscal year. How significant is a budget shortfall like this?
Well, I mean, it's nothing to sneeze at, but it also sort of in percentage terms probably isn't the worst that we've seen. I think the important thing to remember is that it's not unsolvable, right? The governor has put forward a plan that relies on policy choices. I think all Californians should remember there's not one way to solve a budget shortfall. There are always multiple ways, and you need to use every tool in the toolbox.
How will this shape your work with state lawmakers from now until June 15th? I mean, what happened on Friday is just a proposal, and I'm sure things have changed between Friday and Tuesday today.
Yeah, new information is being posted on the Department of Finance website as we speak. So there's going to be a lot more numbers to dig into. We're going to continue digging into those numbers. Our analyses, we're going to have our first look analysis posted this Thursday. So folks can find that at calbudgetcenter.org along with all of our other research.
Scott, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Scott Graves is the budget director at the California Budget and Policy Center. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about Governor Newsom's revised budget plan to close the projected shortfall. I now want to welcome Wayne Weingarten, a senior fellow of business and economics at the Pacific Research Institute, a California-based free market think tank. Welcome back, Wayne.
Thanks so much, Vicki. Great to be here.
What is the big headline for you when you looked at the May revise on Friday?
I think our big headline is that spending is still too high. There are too many budget gimmicks and fund shifts trying to balance the budget. I mean, we were very pleased to hear the governor say no revenue solutions, in direct opposite of the previous guest. We'd like to see more permanent spending cuts as opposed to one-time spending cuts. But that the commitment that tax revenue increases are not the answer, that is the right approach.
So why are tax increases, those revenue solutions, not the right solution in your view?
Well, look at the history of our budget. If you go back to 2019, you know, when the pandemic came, all sorts of revenue surged in. There was the federal money. But if you look at 2019 to what the budget we just proposed, that budget grew at a faster rate than the personal income of Californians. So we actually have, relative to what we as taxpayers can afford, we actually have a bigger government. So California government is still growing faster. We have all sorts of evidence that judging our spending, not by its intentions, because the intentions are often unassailable, right? But on outcomes, on how we're tracking that money, how that's being used, there's a lot of savings opportunities that are out there. We were talking about homeless spending and Project Roomkey earlier. Well, when we audited that program, we had no idea how the localities were spending the money. So much of it was waste. We continue to spend tens of billions of dollars, but the number of homeless keep going up. There are solutions out there where we could actually reduce how much we spend on homelessness and actually increase the effectiveness of it if we move away from concepts like housing first and start prioritizing things like temporary housing. So there are savings opportunities out there that would actually achieve our goals and do that at a more effective price. And I think that needs to be the mantra. How do we do better with less? That has to be our mantra, because if you look at past budget crises, to go back to 2009, these are multi-year problems, and I was very happy that the governor is looking at this over 2 years. That is the right approach, but it could be longer than that, and so we need to be prepared.
So looking at that parallel, you know, California's 2009 budget crisis, which was under Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, what are the main differences this time? I mean, are we still seeing a financial impact from early COVID years?
Undoubtedly, the impact from COVID is still kind of working its way through its system. That was such a huge event. You know, obviously in 2007, 2009, we had the financial crisis. We had the housing collapse, and that was particularly acute here in California. We don't have that yet. And the only reason I put a yet on that is even the Federal Reserve is talking about concerns with commercial property markets. We did have Silicon Valley Bank. Luckily, that was not a long-term issue. But there are reasons to be concerned and to be aware. And if those were to work out the wrong way, we could be facing more financial troubles in the future. You know, the tech industry continues to lay off. About, you know, nationwide, 80,000 people have lost their jobs. Our personal income growth in California is slower than the national average, and we have a higher unemployment rate. So the parallel in terms of 2007 and 2009, the economy not being good, we're not there, undoubtedly. I don't want to, you know, overhype these, but there are reasons to be concerned, which just means that we need to actually encourage more private sector and growth, incentivize more economic activity rather than discourage it. If we were to increase corporate taxes, right, that actually gives more reasons for businesses to leave California. And we've seen that, right? We've seen an exodus of businesses leaving California, and we want to reverse that. And you don't reverse that by increasing that burden on companies.
So let's get to another route when it comes to these budget pendulum swings that California suffers, you know, from one year to the next, potentially. I mean, Governor Newsom also acknowledged the volatility of California's tax system. I mean, the state's top 1% of earners, I believe, make up almost half of California's personal income tax. Do you think that should be reformed?
Absolutely. And that's 100% correct. When you look at, and the governor's been focusing on this, again, rightly so, of the revenue surges, when Silicon Valley does well and capital gains shoot through the roof, revenues surge into the state. And then inevitably what happens is we spend to those surges. And then when they crash, and we have a more volatile economy than the nation, they do crash. It's what happens. Our revenues crash with it because we have that really steeply progressive income tax system. And so our revenues are a lot more volatile than they need to be. And that creates all of these types of budgeting instability. And we're never going to get off of that kind of that roller coaster if we keep trying to push up those top rates, keep relying more and more on that top 1%. But the other thing, and I mentioned earlier about the migration, that also makes us more vulnerable to just a small number of people leaving the state. And that's not the way, you know, we want our state to be kind of run, that you have that type of dependency. So we have the highest marginal income tax rates in the country, right? And with the SALT deductions gone, that really has a huge bite. And that is from a kind of a trying to encourage, incentivize more innovations happening here in California. That's a huge discouragement. From a fiscal crisis perspective, what that means is that we don't have the revenue base. So we need to create a more stable revenue base and ideally kind of have that more resilient over the business cycle.
In the last 30 seconds or so that we have, do you think this budget shortfall will go beyond the two projected fiscal years?
Unfortunately, yes. If you look at past budget crises, they tend to persist for, you know, several years. You started seeing in the 2007-08 crisis, nine crisis, it started appearing well before then. You started seeing revenues drop. So this could just be the beginning of, I think, 2-3 year period where we're continually behind that eight ball. And so what ideally we would like to have seen is more sustainable spending cuts today, so that tomorrow the budget crisis won't be as large. And our fear is that we're going to be having the same conversation next year, and possibly the year after.
Mm. Wayne, as always, thanks for the conversation.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Wayne Weingarten is a senior fellow of business and economics at the Pacific Research Institute. It is a California-based free market think tank discussing his analysis of Governor Newsom's revised budget shortfall plan. The state legislature has a month, June 15th, to pass a balanced budget. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.